Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc. And those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hiya, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show's word for word. I'm Pastor Steve. This is show number 442. We are in the book of Acts. We will be beginning in chapter 12 today. Be doing 12 and 13. In chapter 13, there are a lot of notes. So you're going to want to have writing material available so you can write these notes down and research them for yourself after the show. My website, in case you have missed any of my shows, they're archived at EFR and also at my website, https://www.pastor-steve.com. People have been putting in paster, P-A-S-T-E-R, and you don't get me that way. And there are a number of people that are using Pastor Steve, so if you just Google Pastor Steve, you're going to get a whole bunch, and not me. Such is the internet. But we've been progressing rather nicely here in the book of Acts. It's been an exciting read. I have coffee here, and I'll be taking a sip of that periodically to wet the whistle. Had a good Day of Atonement, the fast. We're getting ready for Feast of Tabernacles. I'm recording this on Sunday prior to the Feast of Tabernacles because I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to have availability of the computer to do shows during this week. I'm going to pre-record them and get them in the can and get them in the server and they'll play. But I have got to get out of here and enjoy this fellowship. This is going to be one of the biggest feast we've had. We got people coming from all over, and I'm really, really going to enjoy it. I need the break. Oh, boy. But this will air, this show will air on the 3rd, and I'll be gone. I'll be down at the feast. And then I'll be doing Friday's show. I'll record that later today and get that into can. And got to keep the feast. They are marvelous. Let's jump right into the book of Acts on chapter 12. We'll get started here. Verse 1. And about that time, Herodias, the sovereign, put forth his hands to do evil to some from the assembly. And verse 2. And he killed Jacob, the brother of Yochanan, with the sword. That's Jacob, the brother of John. Okay. They'll do the same today if they get a chance. That Edomite devil. Verse 3. And seeing that it was pleasing to the Yahudim, or that would be the Judahites, the people of Judah, the Judeans, okay? Not necessarily the people from the tribe of Yehuda, okay? He proceeded further to arrest Kepha, that's Peter. And they were the days of unleavened bread. That's right after Passover. Verse 4. And you can reference for verse 4 the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 27. That's Exodus 12, 1 through 27. So when they had seized him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to watch over him, intending to bring him before the people after Pesach, that's Passover, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. When all of that was done, he was going to bring them forth for judgment. Okay. Well, this is during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay, verse 5. So Kepha, that's Peter, was indeed kept in prison, but prayer was earnestly made to Elohim on his behalf by the assembly. Verse 6. This gets exciting. And when Herodias was about to bring him out, that night Kepha was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. They were watching the prison. Okay, here we go. Verse 7. And see, a messenger of Yahweh stood by, and a light shone in the building. That would be an angel, okay? And smiting the side of Kepha, he raised him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Verse 8, and the messenger said to him, "Gird yourself and bind on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." Verse 9. And coming out, he followed him and knew not that what was done by the messenger was true, but thought he was seeing a vision. He couldn't really imagine, you know, here's this angel. I'm seeing a vision. Oh, yeah. Well, no, he wasn't. Verse 10. And when they had passed the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them by itself. And they went out and went down one street, and the messenger instantly withdrew from him. You know, poof, he's gone. Oh boy. Verse 11. And when Kepha had come to himself, he says, "Now I truly know that Yahweh has sent his messenger and delivered me from the hand of Herodias and from all the Yahudi people were anticipating." In other words, the Judean people, they were anticipating his being judged and then killed, you know, like the rest. Verse 12. And having realized this, he went to the house of Miriam, the mother of Yochanan, who was also called Marcos. That'd be Mark. Okay. Where many had gathered to pray. They were praying for him. Okay. Well, they're praying for him, and here he comes. Verse 13, and when Kepha knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. Verse 14, and when she recognized Kepha's voice, she did not open the gate because of her joy, but ran in and reported that Kepha stood before the gate. Verse 15. And they said to her, "You are mad." But she kept insisting that it was so. And they said, "It is his messenger." Verse 16. And Kepha continued knocking, and having opened, they saw him and were amazed. He's standing out there and he's knocking on, "Hey, let me in. You know, hey, hey." He got out of prison. They didn't believe he got out of prison like that. They were praying for him. What do they expect? You know? Verse 17, and motioning to them with his hands to be silent, he told them how the master brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Report this to Jacob and to the brothers." Okay. Okay. Jacob. And to the brother, that was another Jacob. There's a bunch of people named Jacob, okay? Bunch of people named John, bunch of people named Peter, but, you know, the common names, okay? Different Jacob, okay? "Report this to Jacob and to the brothers." And he left and went to another place. In other words, he let them know that he was out. Hey, angel came and got me out. Oh boy. And you can imagine that the consternation among the faithful. They were praying for him, and then boom, there he is. Because you didn't get out of the prisons in those days. They kept you until they decided to kill you. Verse 18. Now when day came, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Kepha. They didn't see him leave because the angel blinded them, okay? They didn't see a thing. He was just gone. Verse 19. And when Herodias had searched for him and did not find him, he examined the guards and ordered them to be led away. They were going to be punished because he was gone and they were in charge and they were in trouble. Okay. And he went down from Yehuda to Caesarea and stayed there. Herodias left. Now, here's verses 20 through 23. And for verses 20 through 23, reference 2 Maccabees, Second Maccabees in your Apocrypha, chapter 9, verses 5 through 28. Second Maccabees 9, 5 through 28. This is verse 20. Now Herodias had been highly displeased with the people of Zoar and Zidon. That's Tyre and Zidon, okay. But with one mind they came to him, and having made Blastos, the sovereign's eunuch, their friend, they were asking for peace because their country was supplied with food by the sovereign's country. Okay. They were bribing and sucking up and all of that. Verse 21. And on an appointed day, Herodias, having put on his royal clothes, sat on his throne and gave an address to them. In other words, he spoke to them. Verse 22. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a mighty one and not of a man." In other words, he's a small g god. Okay, they were deifying him. Listen to verse 23. See, he's this evil despot, an Edomite, that was harming all these people and killing people. This is what happened to him. Verse 23. And instantly, a messenger of Yahweh smote him, because he did not give the esteem to Elohim. He didn't glorify God. He was letting them call him a little g god, okay? And becoming worm-eaten, he died. The worms ate him up instantly, sitting on his throne. You can imagine worms eating you on the inside. Oh, boy. Did that ever, you know, man, there he is. He's talking to these people, and all of a sudden, that's it. You can imagine the look on their faces when this big, powerful ruler is talking to them, and all of a sudden he just dies. Okay, boy, he got his. His guts were eaten up by worms. Oh, man, and they doubt the power of Yahweh. Ah, well. Verse 24, and the word of Elohim went on growing and spreading. In other words, the gospel was being preached. Verse 25, and Barnabas and Shaul returned from Jerusalem, having completed the service, and having taken with them Yohanan, who was also called Marcos. That's Mark. Okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, his name was Yohanan also. There's a bunch of Yohanan, bunch of Johns, but he was called Mark. And Shaul is later called Paul. Okay, that's St. Paul. That ends chapter 12. Chapter 13. And this is the one with all the notes. Okay, this is a bigger, it's got 52 verses. Twice the size. Verse 1 of chapter 13. And in the assembly that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, both Barnabas and Shimon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Menachem, who had been brought up with Herodias, the district ruler, and Shaul. These were teachers in that assembly. Okay. Verse 2. And as they were doing service to the master and fasted, the set-apart spirit said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Shaul for the work to which I have called them." So Shaul is going to be called out. Paul, all right? So the Holy Spirit spoke to him. I mean, it was prolific in those days. Boy, oh boy. Verse 3. Then having fasted and prayed and having laid hands on them, they sent them away. They laid hand on them and blessed them, okay? In the name of Yeshua, they blessed them. Verse 4. So they, having been sent out by the set-apart spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, one of the Greek islands. Verse 5, and having come into Salamis, they proclaimed the word of Elohim in the congregations of the Yahudim. And they also had Yochanan as an attendant. There were Judahites all in through Greece. You know, there Israel was in dispersion. They were all over the place. Okay? They went from congregation to congregation wherever there were Israelites. Verse 6. And having passed through all the islands to Paphos, they found a certain magician, a false prophet, a Yahudi, that would be a Jew, whose name was Bar Yahshua, son of Yahshua. Okay. Verse 7. Who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, that was under Roman domination, a man of understanding. This man, having called for Barnabas and Shaul, earnestly sought to hear the word of Elohim. Well, who were the Romans? They were the Zerah tribe of Yehuda. Okay, he was a Roman, but he was also an Israelite. I'm an American, but I'm an Israelite. Okay, same deal. Verse 8. But Elumas the magician, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the belief. This was a Jew that was trying to deny Yeshua. Here's verse 9. Then Shaul, who also is Paul, filled with the set-apart spirit, looked intently at him and said, now remember, Book of John, okay, 8:44. You're the father, son of the devil, okay? Verse 10 here, and said, "O son of the devil, filled with all deceit and all recklessness, you enemy of all righteousness, shall you not cease perverting the straight ways of Yahweh?" He was a Jew. And his father's the devil. Verse 11, and now, see, the hand of Yahweh is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And instantly a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. He struck him blind. Yahweh struck him blind. Verse 12. And what was the result of that? Verse 12. And having seen what took place, the proconsul believed, being astonished at the teaching of the master. He was giving him the words of Yeshua Messiah. Verse 13. And having put out from Paphos, Shaul and those with him came to Perge and Pamphylia, and Yohanan, having left them, returned to Jerusalem. Verse 14. But passing through from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the congregation on the Shabbat day and sat down. Verse 15. And after the reading of the Torah and the prophets, the rulers of the congregation sent to them, saying, Men, brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, speak. Okay. Now, they have added the word and here. In verse 16, and they've added the word and in verse 26. And I'll make note of that, you'll understand. Verse 16, and Shaul, standing up and motioning with his hand, said, Men, Israelis, and it says, and those fearing Elohim, listen. The word and should not be there. It should be men, Israelis, those fearing Elohim, listen. Because he's only preaching to the people Israel. Now he says Israel in verse 17. Verse 17, you can reference Exodus chapter 1, verse 7, and Exodus chapter 12, verse 51. That's Exodus 1, 7, and 12, 51. Verse 17. The Elohim of this people Israel, who's he speaking to? Okay. This people Israel did choose our fathers and exalted the people in their sojourning in the land of Mizraim, and with a high army brought them out of it. Verse 18, reference the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 34, and the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 31. That's Numbers 14, 34, and Deuteronomy 1, 31. Verse 18, now for a time of about 40 years, he sustained them in the wilderness. Verse 19, reference Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1, and the book of Joshua chapter 14, verse 1. That's Deuteronomy 7, 1 and Joshua 14, 1. Verse 19, and having destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave their land to them as an inheritance. Mm-hmm. Verse 20. And for verse 20, reference the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 16. And the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 20. That's Judges 2:16 and 1 Samuel 3:20. This is verse 20. And after that he gave judges for about 450 years until Shemuel, the prophet, that's Samuel, okay? Verse 21. And you can reference 1 Samuel, chapter 8, verse 5, and chapter 10, verse 21. That's 1 Samuel 8:5 and 10:21. But then they asked for a sovereign, and Elohim gave them Shaul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. Verse 22. And for verse 22, reference 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, and chapter 16, verse 12, and Psalm 89, verse 20. That's 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, and 16, verse 12, and Psalm 89, 20. And having removed him, he raised up for them Dawid as sovereign, to whom also he gave witness and said, I have found Dawid the son of Yishai, a man after my own heart, who shall do all my desires. Verse 23. From this one seed, the seed line, okay, descendant, according to the promise, Elohim raised up for Israel a Savior, Yahshua. Verse 24, and for verse 24, you can reference the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 4, and the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 3. That's Mark 1, 4, and Luke 3, 3. Verse 24, after Yochanan had first proclaimed the immersion of repentance to all the people of Israel before his coming, that's John the Baptist. Verse 25, and you can reference Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, Mark chapter 1, verse 7, Luke chapter 3, verse 16, and John chapter 1, verses 20 and 27. That's Matthew 3, 11, Mark 1, 7, Luke 3, 16, and John 1, 20 and 27. Verse 25. And as Yochanan was completing his mission, he said, who do you suppose I am? I am not he. But see, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Here is 26, chapter, verse 26. Listen to this carefully. Men, brothers, sons of the race of Abraham. Now they have stuck the word and in here. It does not belong. And it says, and those among you fearing Elohim. No. Men, brothers, sons of the race of Abraham, those among you fearing Elohim, to you the word of this deliverance has been sent. Sons of the race of Abraham. Okay? To you this word has been sent. Okay. Verse 27. For those dwelling in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Shabbat, have filled them, and having judged him. He was prophesied beforehand. Here's verse 28. And for verse 28, reference Matthew chapter 27, verses 22 and 23. Matthew 27, 22 and 23. Mark chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Mark 15, 13 and 14. Luke chapter 23, Luke 23, verses 21 through 23. That's Luke 23, 21 through 23. The book of John, chapter 19, verse 15. That's John 19, 15. Okay. Verse 28. And having found not one cause for death, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Verse 29, you can reference Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 61. That's Matthew 27, verses 57 through 61. Mark chapter 15, verses 42 through 47. That's Mark 15, 42 through 47. Luke chapter 23, verses 50 through 56. That's Luke 23, 50 through 56. And John chapter 19, verses 38 through 42. That's John 19, 38 through 42. Verse 29. And when they had accomplished all that was written concerning him, taking him down from the timber, they laid him in a tomb. Verse 30. But Elohim raised him from the dead. Straight up, just lays it on him. But Elohim raised him from the dead. Verse 31. And he was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee, that's Galilee, to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And you can reference Acts chapter 1, verse 3. That's Acts 1, 3, verse 32. And we bring you the good news, the promise made to the fathers. Straight up, we're bringing you the news. Here it is. Verse 33. And you can reference Psalm 2, verse 7. Psalm 2, verse 7. Okay. I'm looking at my mic is not doing much here. Oh, well. I'll bump it up a little bit. There we go. Verse 33. That Elohim has filled this for us. That's fulfilled. Okay. Their children, having raised up Yahshua, as it has also been written in the second Tehillah. That's a psalm. Okay. You are my son. Today I have brought you forth. That's Psalm 2, 7. Verse 34. And that he raised them out of the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has said, thus, I shall give you the trustworthy kindnesses of David. And that's Isaiah 55, verse 3. Isaiah 55, verse 3. Verse 35, for this reason, he also says in another Tehillah, that's another psalm, you shall not give your lovingly committed one to see corruption. That's Psalm 16, verse 10. Psalm 16, verse 10. Verse 36. I had to adjust my mind. For David, indeed, having served his own generation by the counsel of Elohim, fell asleep. In other words, he died, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. He had an earthly body, and that body rotted. Well, that's what happens to all of us, okay? Verse 37. But he whom Elohim raised up saw no corruption. In other words, that body didn't deteriorate until he reoccupied it. Didn't deteriorate at all. Then he reoccupied it and it was glorified again. Verse 38. Let it therefore be known to you, brothers, that through this one forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Verse 39, and by him everyone who believes is declared right from all sins from which you were not able to be declared right by the Torah of Moshe. In other words, they couldn't keep all the law. They just couldn't do it. Okay? So Yahweh came down as Yahshua and took care of that. Let me get a little hit of this coffee. I had to wet the whistle here a little bit. Verse 40. Watch then that what was said in the prophets does not come upon you. Now he's going to give him a warning here. Verse 41, and you can reference Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 5. Habakkuk 1, 5, verse 41. See, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you would in no way believe if someone were to declare it to you. Okay. Now, before I read this verse, I'm going to explain something. Verse 42. There were people of the land of Judah, the Judahites, okay? Some were Judahites, some were people just living in Judea that were not Judahites. they had Edomites in amongst them also. And then there were Israelites that were worshiping at the temple because it was the feast and all of that, that were from other nations. They were still Israelites, but they were not from the land of Judea. They were living in other nations, and they had gathered there. So that's the background for this verse. Verse 42. And when the Yehudim went out of the congregation, the nations begged to have these words spoken to them the next Shabbat. Now that can mean the men of Judea left the congregation. It also can mean if there were Jews that were there, when they left, for fear of the Jews, the nations wanted to have this proclaimed. Okay? We really don't know, but it'll play out here in a couple of verses. Okay? And when the Yehudim went out of the congregation, the nations, that's Israelites from other nations, begged to have these words spoken to them the next Shabbat. Verse 43, and when the congregation had broken up, they were going home, many of the Yehudim, that's the Judeans, and of the worshiping converts, followed Shaul and Barnabas, who speaking to them were urging them to continue in the favor of Elohim. These people from these foreign nations that were Israelites were believing on Yeshua, okay? Verse 44, and on the next Shabbat, almost all the city came together to hear the word of Elohim. Verse 45, but when the Yehudim saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy, and contradicting and speaking evil, they opposed what Shaul was saying. All right, now the Yehudim here could be translated as Jews, because they were losing their thunder. They were no longer the stars of the show, because people were listening to Shaul and these men of Judea or Yehuda, even if they were Israelites but had been Talmudized, okay, they were upset because they were losing their esteem, and Shaul and Barnabas, that's, like I said, they stole their thunder and they were upset. So they were jealous. They weren't the important ones anymore. Verse 46, but speaking boldly, Shaul and Barnabas said, it was necessary that the word of Elohim should be spoken to you first. In other words, they brought it to these Israelites of Jerusalem, of Yehuda. But how many Israelites disregard the word today? But since you thrust it away and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, see, we turn to the nations, the Israelite nations, the Israelites from other countries, the dispersed Israelites, all right? That's who he's talking about, the nations. the nations. Not the Gentiles, the nations. Verse 47. And you can reference Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. Isaiah 42, verse 6, and Isaiah 49, verse 6. Isaiah 49, verse 6. Verse 47. For so the Master has commanded us, I have set you to be a light to the nations, that you should be for deliverance to the ends of the earth. That's for all the Israelites in dispersion, wherever they might be. Light for the nations. Now they've got Gentiles in the King James. These are not Gentiles. These are not non-Israelites. These are Israelites from the dispersion that were living in other nations. I have to emphasize that constantly. Verse 48, and when the nations heard this, they were glad and praise the word of Yahweh, and as many as been appointed to everlasting life believed. The ones that were called to everlasting life. The ones that were supposed to believe. And others that are not called, well, he doesn't call everybody. He calls whom he wants. This is Yahweh's business. It's his power. It's his glory. And there are many. There are probably non-Israelites around. And they didn't believe it. Okay, no problem. He's not going to call the non-Israelites. He's going to call Israel only. Verse 49. And the word of Yahweh was being spread through the entire country. Verse 50. But the Yehudim stirred up the worshiping and noble women and the chief men of the city and raised up persecution against Shaul and Barnabas and threw them out of their borders. Now, that Yehudim here could be Jews or could be jealous men of Judea because they were so mixed at that point. You don't know who was who. Okay. Well, how many Israelites reject the message today? How many? A lot. Okay. Verse 51, and you can reference Matthew 10, verse 14, Mark 6, verse 11, Luke chapter 9, verse 5, and chapter 10, verse 11. That's Matthew 10, 14, Mark 6, 11. Luke 9, 5, and 10, 11. And here we are. Verse 51. And shaking off the dust from their feet against them, they came to Iconium. Verse 52. And the taught ones were filled with joy and the set-apart spirit. So, these people that did the rejecting, they could be Jews. They could be Israelites of the men of Judah. that didn't want to hear it because they were stuck in that temple worship and had been deceived and had been Talmudized, and they didn't want anybody interfering. Whomever it was, they didn't want any part of the true teaching. So even if they were Israelites that rejected this, an Israelite that rejects the word of Yahweh becomes a tare. He chooses to not believe and dooms himself. He destroys his hope for the future. So that ends chapter 13 and ends the reading for today. I'll be back and we'll begin in chapter 14 on the next show. I want to let everybody know that the prophets, the book of the prophets, is now in print, not just the Torah and the prophets. I've got the second book done. It is available on my website under items for sale. It'll tell you how to order it. It is bigger even than the Torah because of all the books and all the notes. Again, my website, https://, www.pastor-steve.com. That'll end it for today. May Yahweh bless and keep you. And Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Psalm 91, known as the Soldier's Psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong. Because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent. For he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lion and cobra,
Young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore